MSN, in case you haven't grasped. I feel I should start by apologizing because I only really deal with the first three verses, so I don't actually look at all of Psalm 27. Also, I feel it's more of a motivational speech as opposed to an in-depth study of the word, so sorry if that's not what you're really into. Anyway, yes. So Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3, as we just heard, said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident." When I read these verses, they reminded me of the song Our God and the bit in it where it says, "If my God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?" And I love these words, and I love these first few verses, and they fill me with such a passion and excitement, and like, I get really excited to myself, and I think, you know, who's going to stop me? Why am I afraid? I'm an unstoppable force of God that's going to whip through this week, being so holy, reading my Bible every day, being totally awesome. And it's good that these things inspire me, and they encourage me to be helpful and good and holy throughout the week. But it's really easy to only hear the words and read the words and be encouraged and say that I'll do these things, but then 10 minutes later when I'm given an opportunity, just be like, well, you know, they do mean stuff to me and they are really great, but not for right now. And I think in my head, I often act like there's this time when I'm happy to be holy, and once that time's ended, I still love the words, but I'm not going to act upon them. And to explain this a bit better, I have an example. When we were in Milan in half term, one day we were out in this really pretty square, and we had this board, and we were asking people questions, one question, and it was to lead us to talk about God. And while we were there, I was really involved in it, and like I wasn't afraid, and I didn't let things stop me, and I did ask for people, and I even managed to pray for a couple, which was the first time I'd ever done something like that, and I was really proud of myself. But then, like, 20 minutes later, when we were on the train to go back to have lunch, this guy, Andy, who was with us, goes to me and this girl, Rebecca, "Oh, why don't you ask those two girls the question?" And we kind of just looked at each other and did that awkward laugh you do, and you don't want to say no because it's wrong, but you don't want to say yes because you really don't want to do it. And so, you know, we kind of laughed and then looked away and started talking about something else. And when I was reflecting on the week, I thought to myself, why didn't I ask them the question, you know? What was different? Like, it was the same situation. They were still strangers. It was the same question. Same Christians I was with. Same God, you know? What was my problem? Why wasn't I like Andy, who is evangelism 24/7? And I started to get really angry and disappointed in myself for not being like that. But then I kind of had to take a step back, and I thought, I shouldn't be discouraged that I'm not like that yet for two reasons. So my first reason is that while it's really cool that there are people who are evangelism 24/7, I'm not one of them. And I'm not at a place in my relationship with God where I know all the theologies and where I'm able to sit down without preparation and talk for 20 minutes for you to ask me questions that I can't answer because I haven't got to a place with God where I know them because I haven't delved into his word yet to find out. And that's not a bad thing because I want to get to that place. And I think it's a bit like learning a language. You don't read one thing and instantly become fluent. You take lessons over a long period of time, and you grow and you develop your skill. And I think it's kind of like this with God. You don't read the Bible once and instantly become fluent. You go to church and you read the Bible and you pray and you go on missions trips where you do spend an hour practicing and then stop so you can have lunch. And the more years and the more time you spend practicing, the easier it gets. And I think the saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, kind of helps here. So while it's okay not to be fully understanding of every theology yet, it's also important to remember that what we do have, we should give. And so even if I can't answer some crazy question on some deep theology, I can still say, well, this is my experience of God, and I hope you can relate to that, because it's still helpful and it's still important. And so we're also a body of Christ, as everybody knows. You get told this loads. But I think it's still important to remember that there are some people who are like Andy, who is evangelism 24/7 and who can talk to anybody, and that there's other people who can do it sometimes and need a little bit more practice, but they're still giving what they can to God. So what I'm trying to say is don't be discouraged by the place where other Christians are at in their life, but be encouraged by that to get further with God. My second reason is that I'm not perfect. As cool as it would be to be able to study God 24/7 and to grow with him every minute of every day and literally devote my whole life to him, I can't. Because I'm 16, I have A-levels and homework and a room that if I don't tidy, my mum is probably going to get very angry at me. And you have work and kids and a house that you should also probably clean, even though it's not the funnest thing to do. And so we have all these things, and that's fine. We know we have them. And, like, it's hard to be evangelism 24/7 when the rest of the world exists to distract us and get in the way. But it's about getting the balance right between when we need to do stuff and when we need to bring God into the stuff that we're doing. It's about, while we have all this stuff in the world to do, growing with God, whether that be through coming to church on a Sunday or being nice to that one really difficult person at church, at work, who you don't like. And it's like Paul says in Romans, the good we want to do, we don't do, and the bad we do, we don't do. No, we do. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't write that bit down. I was hoping I'd remember. So while all the rest of the world is going on, it doesn't mean that we're not seeking to know God more. And it's like verse 11 says, teach us your way, O Lord, lead us along the right path. And I think it's important to remember that that's our desire and that we want to get to know God more. But also, it's also important to remember that it's going to take us an eternity to be fluent in God, fluent in what we know about him, fluent in what we do for him, and fluent in our own personal relationship with him. But the really cool thing is that we're going to get the eternity to become best friends with him. It's kind of about being Christian in all that you do, but it's okay because stuff kind of often gets in the way, but it's trying to get the balance right, basically. So this small section is now to the more mature Christians of the church, because I want to say to you, I hope that you can encourage the youth from your own personal experience of when you were a younger Christian, when you found it hard and when school got in the way, or when you saw someone in church who was really cool and who knew everything and you felt kind of bad about yourself. I hope that you can help us not to be like that and help us to be, I want to be like that, so I'm going to read the Bible tonight kind of thing. So to try and summarize what's felt a bit of a jumble, be encouraged by the words that we hear in the Bible and that we sing, and actively ask God to teach us his way and to lead us along the right path, because no one is fluent in God just yet. And one of my favorite verses that Ruth Slater gave to us a couple of years ago, which kind of applies more to the youth, is 1 Timothy 4:12, which says, let no one look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in faith, in love, in actions, and in purity. So I just think that that's a great verse, because it's about not being discouraged by the really cool Christians who know everything or seem to know everything and can answer great questions about God while you're like, I became a Christian like 2 years ago, so I don't really know much. But yeah, so my main point is be encouraged and not discouraged by the cooler Christians around you. Thank you.